Well, good morning. Welcome to our Sunday service at Live and Beyond Limits. You all know I'm Reverend Jennifer Spear. Maybe online you don't. I'm Reverend Jennifer Spear. We are a part of Centers for Spiritual Living. I'm so glad you've come to share your morning with each other and with us. And for those of you online also, I'm so glad that you are joining us for the service. Let's start our service by reading our mission statement that's on the front of your bulletin. We are a sanctuary where people can discover and reveal the presence of God within their own being and experience their oneness with all life. Through the realization of this inner presence of love and peace, we give way to the evolutionary impulse of the divine and become a beneficial presence in the world. So what we're doing here at Living Beyond Limits is really we are giving ourselves the opportunity to get in touch with and to feel and sense that within us, which is our own spirit, which is the outpicturing of that infinite one that permeates and expresses itself in and through and around everything, that which we call God or spirit or Christ consciousness, Buddha mind. It doesn't matter what we call it, life, nature, the universe. It's all the same thing, but it is that one that expresses itself everywhere and that specifically expresses itself within us as love and as peace, as the truth of our own wholeness and our own power and our own wisdom. Because once we recognize and know that that is closer than our very breathing, and that we can never be separate from it, it puts us in a place of power. It puts us in a place of choice, because we don't have to be as reactive to what's happening in the world. Instead, we can be proactive. When the world is not being peaceful, we can come to a situation with peace and as peace. When the world is not being loving, we can come from that place of love and bring that into the conversation or the situation. We can stand in our own power. It puts us in a place of power, and it puts us in a place where we can create change in this world because everything is connected to everything else. So it doesn't just change that conversation or that interaction. It goes out like ripples on the pond to affect the whole, because we are all part of this oneness of life. And so I really thank every single one of you for heeding the call of your own soul to be walking this path, to be discovering your own light, and to be bringing that light into this world in a way that is absolutely beneficial to the whole. Thank you for that. I know that every single one of us in this room wants to live in a world of peace and in a world of unity. And I know that every single one of us in this room also wants to live our lives in peace and in unity. But did you ever notice that sometimes it's easier to experience peace and unity when you're actually sitting in your backyard relaxing and looking at the birds and the trees and the flowers and the clouds floating through the sky than it is when you are out driving or when you're out actually interacting with people in the world or maybe just interacting with specific people in the world? That maybe it's easier for you to feel peaceful and to feel like you are in unity with people when you're just talking about people in general instead of people in particular. Or when you're talking about people at a distance, it's easier to experience unity than with when they are actually close up to you. And so this month I've been talking about ways to create peace in the world by starting here, by creating peace within ourselves and within our own lives. And so today I'm going to continue that because I know that we want to live in a world of peace. And because we want to have that peace, I know that each of us here wants to contribute to peace in the world, that we want to have a positive impact on the planet. We want to be a beneficial presence. We want to be able to shine our light out in the world. But I think really one of the first things that has to happen in order to feel peaceful, in order to experience the truth of our unity with everyone and everything, is that first of all, we have to feel safe and secure. We have to know that our needs will be met and are being met, and we can't feel threatened. Because what happens is when we feel threatened, we put our defenses up, and we put our walls up, and our heart closes. And it doesn't even matter what it is you're feeling threatened about, if it's threatened by politics, or if it's threatened by somebody else's perspective, or if you feel threatened by war, or by a disagreement that you're having with someone, or even if it's that you are afraid somebody is going to take what is yours, it's all the same. But in our self-protection from those things, we stop sharing our light with others, and we stop sharing our light with the world. It's like we put up these thick, solid walls around ourselves to protect ourselves, and our light can't escape those walls that we put up. The light's still inside, but we can't shine it out into the world. It's kind of like Maslow's hierarchy of needs. We have to feel safe and secure. We have to have our safety and security needs met before we can actually actualize our spiritual nature. But what if recognizing our spiritual nature and that we are actually incarnations of that infinite one, that living spirit, what if knowing that was the very thing that creates a deep sense of safety for us? What if that's the very thing that we need in order to feel safe and secure? Ernest Holmes says, "I am that which I am. I am the eternal presence of your own self." We are that divine presence. It lives within us all of the time. What if also the very foundation of safety for you in your life is built on knowing that the life that you are living is none other than the life of the infinite itself? That it is not separate. Your life is not separate from that creative life force of the universe. Your life is not separate from the intelligence, or the love, or the opulence, or the potential of the infinite one. That instead your life is that life of the same essence, the same material, the same fabric, that is the fabric that your life is made out of. And what if we know that spirit is within us, and that we know that spirit is where we are, and that spirit is at the very center of our life? When we know that, we know that our good cannot be taken from us because we are infinitely sourced. That whatever might be taken is sourced back by that infinite one that is at the very center of our life, that one whose good pleasure is to give us the kingdom, and that we already live in that kingdom now. What if we knew that spirit is closer than our very breathing and fills our life, and therefore we knew that our good couldn't be taken away because our good is sourced from on high? I think one of the problems also is the reason that we don't shine our light out into the world all of the time, the reason we don't shine our light into all situations that we find ourselves in, it's because we forget that shining our light is not reliant on what they do. And the buzz disappears. We forget, I'll say it again, that shining our light, the reason we don't shine our light all the time is because we forget that shining our light is not reliant on what they are doing. It's not reliant on how they are behaving. It's not reliant upon what they think, what they say, how they are. Our shining our light is not reliant on anything that is happening out there in the world. And so I'd like to share a story with you. It says, during the Second World War, German paratroopers invaded the island of Crete. When they landed at Malim, the islanders met them, bearing nothing other than kitchen knives and hay scythes. The consequences of resistance were devastating. Many villagers were left dead. Overlooking the airstrip today is an Institute for Peace and Understanding, founded by a Greek man named Alexander Papadaris. Papadaris was just 6 years old when the war started. His home village was destroyed, and he was imprisoned in a concentration camp. When the war ended, he became convinced his people needed to let go of the hatred that the war had unleashed. To help the process, he founded his institute at that place that embodied the horrors and the hatreds that war had unleashed. One day, while taking questions at the end of a lecture, Papadaris was asked, "What is the meaning of life?" There was nervous laughter around the room. It was such a weighty question, but Papadaris answered it. He opened his wallet and took out a small round mirror and held it up for everyone to see. During the war, he was just a small boy when he came across a motorcycle wreck. The motorcycle had belonged to a German soldier. Alexander saw pieces of broken mirror from the motorcycle laying on the ground. He tried to put it together but couldn't, so he took the largest piece and scratched it against a stone until its edges were smooth and it was round. He used it as a toy, fascinated by the way he could use it to shine light into holes and crevices. He kept the mirror with him as he grew up, and over time, it came to symbolize something very important. It became a metaphor for what he might do with his life. "I am a fragment of a mirror whose whole size and shape and design I do not know. Nevertheless, with what I have, I can reflect light into dark places in this world, into the black places of men's hearts, and change some things in some people. Perhaps others may see it and do likewise. That is what I'm about. That is the meaning of my life." Our job is to shine our light regardless of what they are doing, regardless of what they say, how they act. Our job is to shine our light. And I think underlying the whole problem, really, of not being able to share our light is not having the ability to shine our light, or to be the presence of peace, or to experience that unity, is because we forget that living spirit is at the very center of us. That it is at the center of our life. Its presence is always right here. Carolyn Miss said, "Hell is identification with the outer self. Hell is not a place we go when we are dead. Hell is not punishment handed out by something. It is rather choosing the wrong self to identify with. Hell is a horrendous case of mistaken identity." Can you relate to that? When we think that we are this outer person, this human personality in this world, we are affected by so many things that are hard, that are challenging, that aren't fair. And if we get so caught up in that, we are immobilized and we become powerless. But when we identify with that which is boundless, that which is our own spiritual nature, that which is who we really are, who we came to this planet as, it puts us totally in a different place. A place of power and choice, a place of being anchored, a place of being solid, a place of knowing that we are safe and that we are secure because we are eternal beings. Our limited perspective from being a human tells us that our five senses tell us everything that is real in the world. And therefore, when things like inflation is high, and that's what we perceive, we tell ourselves, I better hold tight. Or we think that the Democrats or the Republicans are bad and wrong, and therefore they're going to ruin our lives. Or we think that there's only so much to go around, and if someone takes mine, there won't be any more to have. Therefore, I better not be generous. All of those are that limited human perspective of our five senses, not the knowingness of our own spirit. And it doesn't even matter what it is that we feel that is threatening us from the outside. The truth is, we live in an infinite presence, and that infinite presence lives in us. We are never limited. We are never bound. We are always sourced and supplied and fed and permeated with that. It's our nature. And our life is that life of the divine. Its wholeness is our health. Its intelligence is our inner guidance and our knowing what to do and when to do it. Its intelligence is the thing that comes to us as the perfect solutions and answers and insights. Its abundance is our prosperity. Its love is that unending love inside of us. And so the title of my talk today is Ready for Takeoff. And I'm talking about that when we remember who we are, that we are the infinite in form, that our lives are no different than that boundlessness of that creative force of the universe, then we feel safe, then we feel secure, then we know we are whole, and that acts as a springboard for us to shine our light in the world, to be a presence of peace, to live in that place of unity. When we are anchored in that self, when we know who we are, then we're able to come from safety and security and wholeness. And when we come from that place, we are able to really listen to what another person says without needing to defend ourselves. When we come from that place of anchored in who we are, we have the capacity to actually hear another person who has a perspective that's different than ours. We have the ability to understand people who see things differently than we do. And when we're anchored in ourselves, we are able to find and have compassion for other people. And in turn, we can bring our peace to the situation. We can bring peace into our relationships and into our interactions with other people. Ernest Holmes said, "I do not care very much for the word tolerance, as though we tolerated each other. It is better than intolerance, but people who are tolerant because they have made up their minds to be tolerant are missing a lot. I like the word understanding. Everything that is understood will be forgiven. There is no question about that. I am not talking about forgiveness between God and man. God does not have to forgive, for God is eternal forgiveness. But everything that we really understand between each other will be forgiven. I do not know when such understanding will come to the world so that nations will be able to lay down their arms. It will come, not today, not tomorrow, perhaps as we measure time, but nothing can finally combat it. The process is infinite, painstaking, slow, but certain. Everything that is in line with unity is in the process of winning. being anchored in our spiritual nature, being anchored in our inner security, our inner safety, our inner wholeness, our inner well-being, becomes that springboard for understanding other people, which in turn brings unity and peace. So I think we are charged with doing our inner work, whatever that work is, so that we can feel safe and secure on the inside, so that we can feel safe and secure in our lives, so that we can know that we are enough and we can know that we are whole, because that is our divine nature. And when we are experiencing and being peaceful, we bring more peace into this world, and we bring greater peace into the collective consciousness of humanity. When we're grounded in our capital S selves, it's easier to be at peace, and it's easier to experience unity. And so I'd like to invite you to join me in a meditation, if you will. And so I invite you to just become still. And as we enter that place of silence, we meet the ever-waiting presence of God. In this stillness, in this silence, we commune with the fullness and the allness of spirit. Our hearts open to experience this presence. As we move into this place and release all earthly concern, we move into an experience of oneness. As we open the door of our hearts and our minds, out comes rushing the beauty and the splendor and the vastness of spirit. The infinite nature of the One is always within us. It can never leave us, for it is the essence of our soul. It is the energy that our body is made of. And it is the life stream that lives through us. There is only one. As we open ourselves to the kingdom of God in earnestness, it is revealed to us. God's kingdom is established in us today. In this heavenly communion, there is nothing else to seek, for the kingdom is at hand. In this communion, we know that at the deepest level of our being, that it is truly life's good pleasure to give us the kingdom. In this communion, a trust in the goodness of spirit is born by no effort or strain of our own. It is the natural byproduct. Out of this inner communion, we walk in an awareness of the presence of Spirit, the presence of the infinite. And we know that there is only one. And so we just rest here for a moment. So I invite you to begin to bring your awareness back to the room. Feeling your feet on the floor and the seat beneath you. And when you're ready, to open your eyes. So my invitation to you is to do your spiritual work, to do whatever it takes so that you can remember who you are. We are called to be anchored in our souls, anchored in our own spirit, anchored in that within us which is eternal, which is whole, which is timeless. That within us, that's where our power comes from. That's where our being anchored and centered comes from. To use affirmations to remind yourself that you are eternal, that you are safe, that Spirit fills your life. Because the life of Spirit is your life. Remind yourself that Spirit, the infinite creative intelligence of the universe, supplies your every need. Because as it supplies your every need, it is fulfilling itself. Recognize Spirit's action and activity and presence in your life. That activates it to a greater degree. And from there, reach out with intention. Reach out with the intention to understand, the intention to have compassion, the intention to create unity and to create peace in this world. And so I'm going to close today with a quote from L.R. Nost, author and social justice activist. All things break, and all things can be mended. Not with time, as they say, but with intention. So go, love intentionally, extravagantly, unconditionally. The broken world waits in darkness for the light that is you. Blessings to every single one of you as you remember your own light and remember who you are so that you easily shine it into this world. Blessings to all of you. And so I invite you to join me as we turn our attention to the truth. The truth is that there is only one, and that that one beingness, which we call by many differing names, permeates every single thing in this universe with its beingness, with its love and its intelligence, with its goodness, that it expresses in and through and around everything since before time began, was this one power and will be throughout all of eternity, for it is the beginning and the end, the Alpha and the Omega, that which is here at the center of our own beingness, the very essence of our own beingness. For I recognize that each and everything that we see in this world of form is that one out picturing itself here in this universe. And that everything is not only an out picturing of it, but it is imbued with it, filled with it, permeated by it, illuminated by it. That it is all the essence and the fabric of spirit. And so today we turn our attention to that absolute, that which is not yet in form, recognizing its infinite potentiality is the nature of our life. That the good that it is ever present. That the intelligence within it speaks within our hearts and our minds. The peace that it is ever present, simply awaiting our human recognition of it and allowing it to come forward. We don't have to create peace. We just have to make space for peace. We don't have to create love. We only have to create space for love. We don't have to create unity. We just have to make space in our thinking for unity to be experienced. And so I speak this word knowing that we are each led and guided on this path of life in ways and in places where we can shine our light and act as a healing presence. That anything and everything that has blocked our shining our own light right now just simply dissipates into the nothingness. For the law of life is a law of growth and unfolding. And that is what is happening and allowing us to shine our light in ever greater ways. And so I speak this word also about every single person on this planet, knowing that that infinite one is right where they are, expressing as the fulfillment of every single need. That I know that that presence is present in every single world leader, every politician, every decision maker, every leader of any sort, guiding them from on high. The infinite intelligence that it is, speaking to their minds and to their hearts, speaking the truth of oneness, of unity, the unity of humanity, the one family of humanity, that its love, its peace, its intelligence is guiding their actions, their decisions, their words right now. For they cannot be separate from that which is. That which is the only power that exists. And so I release this prayer into that creative law of the universe, knowing that it is expressing itself everywhere right now, simply because it is the truth. And so we lean into that and accept that as our reality, and allow it to unfold. And so I release this in gratitude, and I invite you to join me in saying, and so it is.
And so it is.
Do you feel blessed?
Yes.
Isn't it amazing? So I have a couple of invitations for you. One is we're continuing to do this community outreach, which is providing meals for Ray and Marty. He's experiencing vertigo, and he's usually the one that does cooking and shopping and that kind of stuff, and he's not able to do that right now. So if you would like to sign up on Meal Train, which is online, you can sign up for a meal any day of the week. You write in if you want what you're making, so they don't have, you know, meatloaf three nights in a row kind of thing. Or you can have food delivered to them, you know, through, what do you do, food, I forget what they're called, Grubhub and that kind of stuff, if you want to do that also. I forgot to put a sign-up sheet. Jan, do we have a piece of paper we could put out back there? We're having a pancake breakfast on November 26th, which is the Sunday after Thanksgiving. It's going to be after service at Chris and Peggy's house. We'll probably be doing like pumpkin pancakes and that kind of stuff for fall. So we would love to have you join us. The cost's a fundraiser. The cost is $20 and kids eat for free. You can bring grandkids if you want to, but we'd love to have you join us and come hang out and have breakfast together. The other ones are just that we have prayer support after church. You know that. There's a ministry of prayer box in the back. We have prayer shawls. Our talks come out on Monday afternoon and share them on Facebook and like us on Facebook and follow us and check us out on Instagram and share those too. So that's it. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
There we go. I invite you to repeat after me. The love and light of spirit are within me now.
The love and light of spirit are within me now.
I own it and I share it.
I
am it.
I am it.
I am a beneficial presence.
I am a beneficial presence.
And so it is.
And so it is.